The Basement Studio. I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Seth Meyers points out the Manhattan District Attorney's Office confirmed that it's in possession of Trump's tax records, as evidenced by the white smoke coming from the Statue of Liberty's torch. Seth again, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office confirmed it is now in possession of former President Trump tax records, and yes, both of them. Jimmy Kimmel, I wonder how many pages of the Cheesecake Factory menu he snuck in there. Seth again, look, I'm no prosecutor, but it can't be that hard to find a crime in the tax records of a guy who claims to be a billionaire, yet paid only $750 in federal income taxes when he was president. Fallon, you can tell that they're Trump's real tax returns because under total loss, he still didn't declare the election. Fallon's writers are just awesome. Seth, yes, there are plenty of technical legal ways that the wealthy and corporations avoid taxes, which is a scandal in itself, but something tells me Trump doesn't just limit himself to the legal stuff. I'm guessing he commits crimes the way the rest of us order apps at the tables. Should we just get one of everything? Kimmel, the whole thing started with Stormy Daniels. Donald Trump is the only guy who can cheat on his wife and his taxes in the same bed. Pretty good. Kimmel, the crazy thing is the part about paying no taxes on millions of dollars. That isn't what he might get busted for. That was probably legal. He could claim huge losses, pay no taxes, and still live like a billionaire. It's what they call orange privilege. It's specific to him, and hopefully he'll be in an orange jumpsuit very soon too, Fallon. But this is really big news because after they thoroughly go through each document, Trump could be charged around the year 3000. Quick sidebar to tell you about what I've been watching on TV. I got into Mr. Mayor. That's the Ted Danson sitcom. It was on NBC. I think the season's over now, but you can catch up with it on Hulu. It's pretty decent, like I mentioned during the week, NBC sitcom starring Ted Danson with Tina Fey behind it, so, you know, you can pretty much figure out what it's like. I'm up to episodes 5 and 6. They seem to have gotten rid of the daughter character, which I think is a good call. I think there's a good workplace comedy in this show somewhere, but they need to get rid of Bobby Moynihan's character. If you've watched this show, the character does not act like an actual human being. It's so bad. Like, the show has 80% really good writing. Episode 6, they did the Mr. Mayor version of Diversity Day from The Office, and it was pretty good. And then Bobby Moynihan comes in and does some sort of Inspector Clouseau routine, and he's got to go. And I really liked him on Saturday Night Live, but that character is just miswritten, and I don't think it's redeemable. I think they just have to get rid of Bobby Moynihan's character and stick to the main ensemble. Mr. Mayor has a lot of potential. And then I put on the Kevin James Netflix NASCAR thing. Holy cow. It's so bad. It's so bad. How bad is it? It's so bad. Awful is the word I wrote in my notes. The laugh track, are you kidding me? Like, 1 second of the show, somebody does like a face and you just hear like, ah, it's, what are we doing? The green screen is pretty bad. Like, it just looks like Kevin James is standing in front of some B-roll of a NASCAR scene. I get it, COVID, you got to do what you got to do, but it looks terrible. Laugh track's bad. I got as far as the theme song, and I immediately hit thumbs down and let Netflix know, stop with this. My wife walked in the middle of the, 2 minutes I watched, and she was like, holy cow, this is terrible. So, Mr. Mayor, you should watch. Kevin James Netflix NASCAR thing, do not watch. Good news, John Mulaney has reportedly completed his 60-day stint in rehab. You may recall he had admitted himself into a Pennsylvania rehab facility to seek treatment for his struggles with alcohol and cocaine. A source tells Page Six he's doing well. Not the source, John Mulaney. I'm sure the source is doing well, too. But John Mulaney is doing well. But John Mulaney is still not ready to return to work. Amy Poehler, who's not Amy Schumer, spoke to the New York Times. They talked about Parks and Rec and why people seem to really like it, after the fact. Amy Poehler, who's not Amy Schumer, said, because of the garbage fire that the last presidency was, perhaps people were like, it's nice to be reminded that there might be people in public service who care about the things I care about and are decent. Perhaps this is an example of people who have different ideas about the world and government still getting a beer together. I believe that most people are decent people, and the last 4 years have been damaging for that reason. We've forgotten. I mean, I'm amazed by people who are in public service. To be an advocate for people who aren't your own family and to work in terribly lit offices? Ayu Edebiri was still in college when Trump was elected. And she said it couldn't help but influence how she approached her comedy career, saying it's easy to be like, well, Trump was bad for comedy because he's so unprecedented and there's no way to make jokes about any of this. Or, he's funnier than you can even imagine. And honestly, sometimes I've watched his stuff and I've been like, he is funny. Sorry, I get it. I get why people want to see a fat, rude, stupid man and be like, this guy is effing stupid. I can see why people would want to say that's bad and destructive for comedy. The comics who I like and enjoy are people who are of marginalized identities, but we're finding ways to make comedy that we want to see. You can't say it exists outside of Trump and his presidency, because that's the context we're in. There's no outside. There's no, not my president. He was the president. The comedy that we rolled out made ourselves laugh, made ourselves feel good during the time. We've seen so much craziness happen that anything is possible. Nothing's real. So you can do anything. We can find audiences that relate to what we're thinking. They are there, however big, however small. Eddie Murphy. We'll hear a lot from Eddie Murphy this week because Coming to America with the Two in the Middle is out on Friday. He spoke to Variety. He is a big fan of costumer Ruth E. Carter. Carter said when she first signed up to work on Coming to America, her first thought was, don't mess it up. About the costume, she said, I wanted to bring in a little bit more of the real Africa. So she started imagining what Prince Akeem and everybody would look like 30 years later. She's worked with Eddie Murphy before, and what she has learned is he doesn't want the costume to be the funny thing. Eddie wants to let the clothing be the clothing, and he can be the funny part. Murphy says Carter makes clothes that make the character walk different or affect your performance so that you get a better sense of how the character moves. Akeem's attire must reflect his standing in the world. Eddie says he's the king, he's got family, his clothes have to reflect that. Eddie says he's ready for a third Coming to America, and he wants Carter to be part of that, but not yet. 16 years from now. I'm not waiting 30 years. I've got an idea to do another one, but it doesn't happen until I'm 75. If you listen every Sunday, you know it's a Matt Berry Sunday. Now, last Sunday, I was in the middle of reading Vulture's article suggesting Matt Berry be in The Mandalorian, and suddenly I realized there were a lot more paragraphs left, and I saved them for this week. So here we are. Vulture writes, Barry should be in The Mandalorian because it would be really, really fun. Imagine, if you will, a character with a name like Fandango Purchase or Gonville Clem, real ones we know, an ex-Imperial whose days of pushing buttons on a Star Destroyer are far behind him. He now runs a seedy hotel in the underbelly of Coruscant. You know, I'm kind of in on this. I forgot to remind you who Matt Berry is. He is the British vampire in What We Do in the Shadows. He is the boss on the later seasons of The IT Crowd, and he is the star of Toast of London. You should be watching all three of those. Matt Berry, very, very funny. I'm not doing this lightly. Matt Berry doesn't get his own segment for no reason. Even Adam Sandler doesn't get his own segment. Even that woman, you know her, she pantomime, I'll stop. So the idea for Berry's character, he's a former military man jaded by defeat in the tradition of Bill Burr's Mayfield. He's now perfectly content to while away his time scamming local travelers for SABEC money. Unlike Amy Sedaris' warm and silly character, we'd need Matt Berry to absolutely hate Baby Yoda. Oh, that's such a good idea. Can we do this? What the bloody blazes is that? He would bellow before trying to kill Baby Yoda with a broom or something. How was that? That was the first time I attempted a Matt Berry. That wasn't terrible, right? Of course he'd warm up to what he would eventually refer to as the creature. Perhaps once it provides a solution to the hotel's pest problems. This is such a good idea. Barry's time to enter the Star Wars galaxy is now, and it feels urgently necessary to deconstruct the particular brand of British thespism the epic is rooted in. Peter Cushing's old-school UK theater background informed the first depiction of a Star Wars Imperial that was so iconic, they CGI'd the guy in a Rogue One. It's a legacy that continued on Domhnall Gleeson's General Hux, but this type of high-status performance has yet to find a home in The Mandalorian's decidedly grittier universe. No one is more qualified to represent this than Matt Berry, who is on record crediting this style of British theater acting for inspiring the full-bodied and overflourished voice he regularly performs with. And there are some examples here. The pronunciation of sexual and Arizona in What We Do in the Shadows, and everything Stephen Toast has ever said. Matt Berry's performance could show us what becomes of the classic Star Wars bad guy who has no more battlecruisers on which to deliver ruthless commands in received pronunciation. In summation, there is no reason for Matt Berry not to be in The Mandalorian. It's an obvious choice. We need this. Baby Yoda needs this. Star Wars needs this. And Matt Berry probably doesn't think he needs this, but I bet he'd do it if Disney paid him enough. I'm with you, Vulture. Matt Berry should be in The Mandalorian. If you enjoy Matt Berry Sunday, luckily Vulture wrote another article, so come back in 7 days. But I'm here every day. It's daily comedy news, not 5-day-a-week comedy news, not weekly comedy news, daily comedy news, 7 days a week. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you like the show and want to support what I do, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I'm still with the caramel. It's a large ice with caramel. And I will see you tomorrow.